Hey, welcome back, everyone, to the Reflex Blues Show. I am your host, Donovan Beery, and we are still in Chicago at this wonderful Hyatt for the Howe Conference. And we have with us Matteo Bologna.
Perfect.
I already said it once, so I'll try not to say this one again.
It took you only 10 minutes to rehearse it.
Yeah, I mean, we've got like 18 minutes of unusable footage here, or whatever. So, Matteo, you're with Mooka Design that you founded. And you're also, what are you here speaking about at Howe?
It's kind of, you know, my favorite topic, which is me.
Great!
It's so easy also because I don't have to rehearse too much.
Okay.
It's me and, of course, my second favorite topic. Actually, it's my third because my second, I cannot really talk about it in public. So my third favorite topic is typography.
Sure.
So I'm going to talk about type and me. And yes, a little bit of the second topic, which is sex.
Oh, sure. And how does that work with the type?
Yeah, they kind of like mix together a little bit, but I need to show some visual for that. I cannot show it on a video, audio podcast, unfortunately.
No, and that makes sense. Where do people go to see some of this type work and some of your other work when if they want to look at more?
Another thing that I'm actually going to try to do before tomorrow, and probably would have been able to do it if it wasn't for this thing that we are doing right now, is I'm trying to launch a Type Foundry.
Oh, great.
And, of course, I'm late. So can we cut this with finishing the design of the Type Foundry site? So can we cut this presentation short?
Well, these don't go that long anyway.
I'm joking.
I know.
Yes, of course. That's, in theory, tomorrow there will be the reveal of this new Type Foundry, which has been postponed forever, and finally I decided, okay, I'm going to show it at, present it at Howe.
All right, well, we're actually, you know, we're on a delay here, so this won't go on for months. So this Type Foundry launched like a month ago, so where do people go to see this?
Okay, so you have to go to Mooka Typo, like MUCCATYPO, like typo, .com, of course, where you can find amazing typefaces that I designed and for clients, for Mooka Design. And the idea was that because we have so many typefaces in our drawers, type that we designed in the past years that we gave to clients, and maybe clients are not using them anymore, or maybe we figure out a way to make them better. So now I'm rescuing them from the hard drive.
Sure.
And seeing other people using them.
Giving them a second life.
It's a cool thing to do. It's very scary.
Is this the first time you've actually like put your type out for just people to purchase like directly and other people to like ruin how it's used?
Yes, a few times I had people asking me for those typefaces, and I said, okay, you can use it, but you know, keep in mind that maybe the Y is missing or stuff like that. Not just the space in his bed. And then I saw the results and were amazing. And so it made me think, okay, what if we really start giving them to the designers? I mean, of course, trying to make some money wouldn't be a bad idea too. So I took some of the old typefaces that we made, I fixed them, and now they will be, in theory, they are for sale if this is shown in a month, played in a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so probably, okay, considering my capacity of procrastinating and changing the last thing at the last minute, probably the website will be ready next year.
How many typefaces do you want to launch with? Like,
okay, I'm going to start with one text space, which I called Liminal, which we use as a corporate typeface for Mooka Design. and a super decorative typeface that, in theory, people were able to download from our for free from our 404 Mooka design page. You know, when you type the wrong address in MookaDesign.com, you go to the 404 page, and there is a like Easter egg. We put this typeface for free. So I'm sorry, you are in the wrong page, but hey, you can get the font for free. And this is a super decorative font, but that I'm going to start selling. So unfortunately, this is not going to be anymore on the Mooka website. And then the third typeface is a typeface that I'm super proud of it, because in probably at the end of May, there's the opening of the Chicago Athletic Association Hotel, which is a fantastic hotel designed by Roman and Williams, that is in Chicago, in Millennium Park, right in front of the bean, the sculpture of the bean. And we designed the branding for this hotel, and I designed the typeface for this hotel, and it's super cool. I like the fact that I was able to design it super fast.
Sure.
And we just used it for this project, and I thought, hey, I think other people can use it. So if you want to pretend to be a hotel, you can purchase this typeface whose name is No Exit.
No Exit.
Yes, because it's inspired while we were at the hotel at the beginning, when we started the job. There were all these old stairway signs and exit signs, the typical non-design signs. And I thought it would be cool to recreate that typography and use it for this hotel.
No, that's great. What is it that got you into a type in the first place? Like, how long have you been doing this now?
Probably 5 years.
Okay.
Doing it badly, I started doing it 20 years ago.
Is that the key to a good typeface? Is a lot of just practice and doing a lot of...
Or deciding to be a type designer rather than a graphic designer. Because designing type... Can you say the word fucking?
Oh, sure.
Takes a fucking long time. Okay?
Right.
And... if you're doing two professions, if you have a company to run and designing stuff for clients who have immediate needs, sometimes designing a typeface, it's something that doesn't match with your day-to-day work. It's because it takes so long, it ends up being something that I had to do in evenings, during weekends, and I never had anybody teaching me how to do it. So I made a lot of mistakes with my first typefaces. And, you know, when you make a typeface, it's at least 300, 400 glyphs, which means 400
right,
little drawings.
Which, every time I hear that, it's still amazing, because I'm like, well, there's not 300 or 400 keys on my keyboard, but I know there's a lot of...
There's a lot of alternate letters, uppercase, small caps, weird languages, accents. There's... too much. Sometimes it's really overwhelming. And if you don't have anybody who teaches you the process of doing it, like I didn't, it's very, very frustrating. Because, for instance, I always started with the uppercase. But the truth is, when you start designing a font, if you read the typeface on a book or a magazine, 90% of that typeface is lowercase letters. So
sure.
I learned that you have to start from the... After many years of mistakes, I learned that I have to start from the lowercase. And then somebody told me that I had to start from the lowercase N, because it has straight lines and curves. It's the letter that more or less, as you say, is the core of the whole alphabet. And from the N, so the N, you can take the stem and make it into an I, lowercase I. and the curve of the N should be similar to the curve of the O, and so on. And then you build upon that. So it took me a long time to learn this. Also, when I started, was way before the internet existed. And I'm Italian, and in Italy there were no type design schools. Like, actually...
Yeah, I'm like, I don't even know. Like, I'm from Nebraska, in the middle of the state. There's no type design school there.
Do you have schools in Nebraska?
You know, a couple. We take the horse and the buggy there. And...
But, I mean, the truth is, real type design programs... I mean, typography, you know, with movable type is, in Europe at least, is officially from 500 years ago started. And in 500 years, there has not been a school for type design, which is kind of amazing. People were just apprentices at type foundry,
sure,
or at printers, and then they became type designers. By learning from their bosses. Recently, I think it started with the University of Reading in England. They started a type design program, and then there's another one at the Royal Academy in The Hague. And now there's one in New York, type at Cooper. And I think Jean-François Porcher is a great French type designer, is opening a type school in Paris. So there's a lot of interest from designers in learning how to design type.
Right.
And nowadays, after 10, 15 years that these schools exist, there's a shitload of fucking amazing type designers in this world. And the quality of typography in the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years, it reached like levels that has never reached.
Yeah, I think a lot of that also started also there with the Helvetica movie, just because it hit the nationwide. People actually started talking about type.
Like, yes,
non-designers actually notice, and they might even be like, "Oh, what is the type?" And they don't know what they're talking about, but they
it's incredible. Yeah. I mean, now if you talk about type at a party with a lady, you can probably also get laid.
Well, good luck with that.
Not that it's ever happened to me.
All right, we'll be right back. So you're also president of the Type Directors Club,
yes.
Is that right, Matteo?
Yes.
Because I'm very familiar with like the AIGA groups. There's the ad clubs. There's things like that. But how does someone go about getting? Are there like a bunch of chapters?
No,
like
there's only one.
Just one.
If anybody wants to open a Type Directors Club chapter somewhere else, please let me know. It's based in New York. It's nearly 70 years old. It was founded by a bunch of very cool designers.
Sure.
In the old days, when advertising agencies had as a professional figure working there a guy called the type designer, the type director. Sorry.
Okay.
The type director was the one who was choosing the typefaces to be used for. And was probably buying them or ordering, you know, photostats.
Yeah, they didn't just open up the Macintosh.
No.
Like, none of that was around.
So ridiculous. So these guys were, their job was to help the art directors to use the right typefaces. And then, of course, there were people like, you know, Herb Lubalin, who actually was not only an art director, but also type director, a copywriter, was amazing. So the Type Directors Club started from there, and it sounds a little bit anachronistic now, the name Type Directors Club, but it's kind of like, you know, the heritage, also because we celebrate not only typography, but of course lettering and everything that has to do calligraphy.
Oh, and lettering's taken off in the last 5 years like mad,
yes,
as well. Yeah.
Yes. So we're, I think, in a great place if you're a a lover of type, this is the right moment in the whole history
right.
of humankind, because it's been really appreciated by everybody. I mean, my daughter found online this calligrapher from England. His name is Seb Lester, who's like amazing, and he publishes these mini videos where he, on Instagram, where he draws with a flat nib pen a logotypes, like the FedEx logo, in like 2 seconds.
Oh, I think I saw but that. Yeah,
he's like amazing.
Yeah.
And so it becomes a spectacle, typography. I mean, seeing somebody writing, making type, and seeing a video, sorry, making lettering on a video, it becomes a kind of voyeuristic activity. Because you see, it's like seeing a juggler playing with, doing something incredible. And I think all of this is going to push more and more people into do more lettering or more typography or more calligraphy. So it's great. Instagram helps a lot.
So when in your career did you just decide, I'm giving up the design and I'm going straight type? Like I'm gonna.
I haven't decided that, but I wish. I don't think I will ever do that, because I actually like the fact that, you know, like working, having a branding agency, it's really fun and challenging at the same time. But type design is like a hobby who became a profession.
Okay.
So now we are doing big projects like designing a new typeface for Sephora and doing our own self-produced typefaces. And so when we design typefaces for clients, it's service design. And when we design typefaces for retail, is retail, which is a completely different thing that I never imagined to do. You know, I'm a designer, I work for a client. And now the client is myself, who is selling to other clients, you know.
Right.
Which is weird, so now I have to budget stuff like marketing.
Is it also becoming more and more common for like a large company like Sephora to have a custom typeface?
I mean, a lot of typefaces. A lot of companies have, big companies had their own custom typefaces. Main reason is business. Because if a company has to license typefaces for 1,000 computers, costs thousands and thousands of dollars. So at that point, instead of spending, I don't know, $80,000 to license the typeface, typeface that everybody else has, it makes more sense.
Oh, I never thought of it that
to
way.
Hire somebody like me, mukadesign.com or mukatypo.com, and we can give discounts to how listener. So instead of spending all this money to licensing something that everybody has, why not to hire a type designer that will make something that is custom and gives voice to your company, that a voice that is your own, nobody else's. So
sure.
that totally makes sense. And it probably is going to cost you more or less the same, the licensing, the font.
Yeah, and if it's going to be the same price, you want custom is going to be better.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. You can really be one of those art directors that says, yeah, I want the letters like this, and you will have it, you know. And it's great, and that's going to reflect, you know, it's a big part of the branding of the company.
That's wonderful. Okay, we'll be right back for one last segment with Mateo.
Thank you.
All right, we're back with Mateo, and one of the things we talk about way too much on the show is Command X, the game show. And you're like, you were the new host for AIGA for the Command X show.
Yes, last time it was. I don't know if I will be next year, because I probably won't, because I said the word vagina in front of 3,000 people.
Oh, yeah. It's the boy who called vagina and is no longer host of Command X, maybe, or maybe not.
Probably, I'm not. I'm joking. But I said that, and I kind of, like, regretted that I said it, because I wish I said penis instead.
Okay. Yeah, be much less offensive for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't get it. So how was it? Was that a different thing? You know, like being a game show host? Is it something you're looking at?
Yes, especially because I can't memorize anything, and it's very difficult to be in front of people, and you're supposed to say certain things without that you're supposed to have memorized, and on top of the fact that I don't know how to memorize things, I cannot read well. So, it was very difficult, because there were the monitors in front of me. I was supposed to read stuff, and so I had to wing it. And it was, I don't know, was it funny or not?
Yeah, I thought you came off with a good stage presence, which is really the main thing of the game show host. Mm-hmm. Is you come in, you command the stage, you're in charge of it, and you seemed like you kind of had that, there was that kind of, I'm in on the moment, and I don't really care, like, if everything's exact, but we're all having fun.
I'm glad that it happened like this, because actually it was like that. But the truth is, I was terrified and just making one mistake after the other and thinking, oh, fuck, I just made a mistake. I shouldn't have said so. And I was very self-conscious. I wasn't so relaxed. I wish I did it before and been able to really master the stage in a more.
I guess that's the thing we don't talk about with the Command X, is since everyone gets in like the day before, including the contestants and everything, it's not like you guys can do a run through.
No.
No. Maybe you get everyone like for 20 minutes.
No. And, but it was very improvised, you know, and my job, it's not my job to be on stage, though I enjoy it. And, especially when I do my drag queen act in Chelsea, as you can see me dressed. My name is Ramona.
Oh,
Ramona Bologna. Yes.
Where do people go to see Ramona Bologna?
The Rawhide.
Okay, sure.
Every Tuesday at 1 a.m.
Just down the block from the Typewriters Club.
Yes.
So, well, that's great. So, it's mukadesign.com.
Yes.
Where do people go for the Typewriters Club, and how do they get involved with that? Like, and how? What's your advice for like someone who's younger that is thinking about being a type designer, but they're not quite sure? What would your advice to?
I mean, nowadays it's so easy. Just look online. There's a lot of videos that are teaching you how to do type. There's a lot of articles. There's so much knowledge nowadays that you can become a type designer without having a teacher, in theory. Of course, there's also these amazing schools like Type at Cooper, the other one that I was mentioning, University of Reading in England, and the Royal Academy in The Hague, where they have these one-year programs. Type at Cooper is also a summer program where you can go there and just learn. There's amazing type designers that are teaching you, like the top of the top, la creme de la creme.
Are you teaching any of these as well, or?
I'm not la creme de la creme.
Surely there's got to be like a community college version that you can run out of here.
Yes, I mean, I give at the Type Directors Club. I give once in a while type design classes for graphic designers. Because a lot of graphic designers love to modify their letterings or doing some custom alphabets for their clients. And what I do, I teach them the basics of designing an alphabet using Glyphs, this application that I was mentioning.
Yeah, so where are people going to get this application that you use for some of your type?
It's called Glyphs www.reflexblueshow.com, and it's a very easy, a very intuitive software. You can buy it on the App Store. It's only for Mac, unfortunately. Windows users, losers. You can learn it on your own, or you can follow. They have really, really good tutorials on their website. And they have a cheap version, I think, for $50, and then a professional version for $300. But it's totally worth it if you're interested in doing your custom typography, even as a graphic designer.
Oh, sure. And because, yeah, I know a lot of designers, they only, at the very least, they're like, well, hey, I want to just customize the letters of the logo I'm doing, but I'm not going to do anything else, or I've seen it where the headline's in it. And then in very many cases, you can use it, but there's no letter Y, as you said earlier.
Yes, so. That's how it happens. Yeah, well, one thing that I often do, because I'm stupid, I'm designing on a logo or maybe a book jacket, and I do my own custom lettering, which, of course, because it's me, it's not lettering, but it becomes a real typeface. I know that I'm doing a word, and then I say, hey, this word has a T. Okay, I can design an I too, and then an L, because I have the elements. And so I don't need the I, the L, but I'm there like, hey, I can also design a P, I can also design, and then the time that I spent to design the book jacket is like 1 hour, and then I spend 7 hours to design the typeface that has no use for this book jacket because those letters are not necessary. But it's so fun.
No, in the love for type shows, when you talk about it.
So. Yes.
Mateo, thank you very much for your time. It was great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
The Reflex Blue Show with Donovan Beery is hosted at 36point.com. Music by Dustlab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.